Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. The future isn't scary, not realizing its potential, however, could be. Just like on the recruiting trail, I've seen potential come in many forms as a coach. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
Hello, everybody. I am Rich Strafalino.
And I'm Tom Merritt. Welcome to It's a Thing, the weekly podcast supported by you, where we strive for perfection and function and design, focused on creating innovative podcasts that solve the needs of today's consumer while keeping the health of our planet in mind. We do. Thanks for joining us.
Yes, yes, indeed. It's another glorious dawn and another episode of It's a Thing. And what better way to commemorate that than the purpose, visions, and values of Tupperware?
Tupperware. That's from Tupperware. Keeping the health of our planet in mind with plastic.
I was just going to sit there like, listen, we know this doesn't look good. And yes, it's not recyclable, but keep it in mind.
But it's reusable as hell, y'all. So just don't throw it away.
Burped it recently? Have you burped it? It's pretty fun.
Yeah. If you're wondering where Molly Wood is, well, so are we.
No, no, we know, Tom. Come on.
We had a scheduling challenge with Molly traveling this week and I'm traveling next week. So our vaunted producer, Rich Strafalino, has stepped up and is filling in for Molly this week. And you'll fill in for me next week. Thank you, Rich.
And it's a pleasure as always, and I can't wait to hear your things, Tom.
Molly is at an outlet mall right now. She did let us know that.
So technically she is shopping during the show.
Yeah. I have to tell her that.
We just realized you're still shopping during the show.
Well, yay. Full credit to Kent 13. Kent 13 was the first one to point that out in our Discord.
All right. So my first thing, and it's good that you're here, Rich, because you're from a different generation than I am.
This is true. This is true.
And Know Your Meme noticed that April 5th and 6th, Generation X began trending again.
In what, like, just the phrase?
Everybody on Twitter just started talking about Gen X. We talked previously on the show. Mm-hmm. And with my memory at my advanced age, I'm not going to try to pretend that it was me. It was a thing. It was an email. I don't even remember. But we talked about that meme where it's like boomers are shouting, millennials are shouting. And then there's a picture of a woman pouring wine into a young person's Halloween candy container labeled Gen X and Gen Z. And so, you know, we talked about it when that happened, about that sort of attitude about like Gen X, we just don't care. Talk about us if you want. You know, y'all are the angry ones. Maybe Gen Z will be like that. For some reason, around April 5th and 6th, that started happening again. For example, Yuki Attack wrote, Gen X is proof that if you leave children to their own devices, they'll turn out to be happy adults who leave people alone, mind their own business, and age gracefully while having some badass stories to tell their grandkids. Seems like a very self-congratulatory tweet. So I suspect the author is not from Generation X.
I was going to say, yeah, that's off brand.
Yeah. I'm like, you must be a millennial writing that, or maybe Gen Z. Amy wrote, my theory is every Gen X person read a Stephen King book way too young, and that's why they are the way they are.
Well, so this is funny because I actually got pulled into a Gen X kind of Twitter thread going on that was started by Amani Gandhi on Twitter, Black lady on Twitter. She's fun. And she tweeted out, if you didn't spend 3 p.m. to 6 p.m. after school at home with no adult supervision, just trying not to die, are you even Gen X? And it totally reminded me, because I am a millennial. I'm not pro-millennial. I'm not anti-millennial. I'm not self-loathing. I'm existing as a millennial. I'm fine with that. But I feel like I got some Gen X juice, like in terms of my sensibilities in me. And it just reminded me, like, one day when I was 12, my parents were like, hey, we got three kids. We're just leaving them home 9 to 6 every single day in the summer. They'll figure it out. And I was like, that, yeah, that pretty much, that I feel like that gives me some at least some Gen X perspective on that.
Yeah, yeah. No, I feel like that's why you work so well with me and Molly. Molly sometimes thinks of herself as an Xennial.
Yes, you know, this has been floated around.
I am firmly in the middle of Generation X. There's just no other way to look at it. Yeah, I don't know. To me, the quintessential experience to me is coming home from work, coming home from high school, realizing that my younger brother is alone, who I believe he also is a Gen X, if not an Xennial. He's 7 years younger than me. Mm-hmm. And that no instructions nor provisions have been made for our dinner. And I'm coming home from like a practice of some sort, I'm thinking. So it's a little later in the day. And me pulling out that can of Dinty Moore and thinking, well, am I going to get in trouble for opening this without permission?
Better to ask forgiveness.
Yeah. I guess this is what we're eating since there's no other option. It's okay, that or slices of cheese. So here we go.
See, this may show my millennial, my shades of millennialism, because I was also a latchkey kid. You know, come home, parents aren't home, but the dinner instructions were carefully prepared.
There you go.
To the point, though, where there is a very infamous answering machine tape of me crying as my brother forces me to take the gizzards out of a chicken.
Wow,
that just I don't. That pretty much tells you the dynamic between me and my brother at a certain point of our lives, but. But I can, I have a little bit of the Gen X perspective. I feel like I could see into your world, Tom.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I can tell. we just didn't have the instructions or the provisions, or sometimes not even the keys.
Yeah. Well, that's another thing. I broke into my house so many times.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous. Me too. All right. Well, something else that I think might tease at your Gen X heartstrings, Tom, because certainly in those halcyon days of Dinty Moore.
If I'm going to be a Gen Xer, I'm going to be like, maybe.
Yeah, whatever. So I'm assuming when you were cracking over those cans of Dinty Moore, somewhere in your house, there was some sort of camera that used photographic film. At that time, it was probably the only option, right?
I had a Kodak disc camera myself.
That was a multi-billion dollar failure for that company. Yeah. So thank you for trying to turn that chip around now. But the thing I want to talk about is film cameras, not just like a resurgence in film, because that's like a thing also, but as a celeb fashion thing specifically.
Okay. So like as a like, look how fashionable I am. I now use the real camera.
Yes. In particular, there's one particular camera, the Contax T2. Which is like super popular. One of the Kardashians uses it. I believe Zendaya has been seen on the red carpet taking photos, but like not even that, just this overall trend. And the thing that pushed me over the edge of being like, is this just something that film nerds geek out when they see a celebrity using it and get angry because the use price on these cameras
the
go up?
Vice president wearing headphones, headphones.
So I was like, what's putting me over? And it was, there is a camera brand called Japan Camera Hunter, and their film cases were a Oscar gift bag thing. He tweeted out that they're included in like some of the Oscar goodie bags.
Film cases?
Yeah, like a case to hold canisters of film were included.
A case to hold it, implying like, well, we know you have a film camera and film.
Yes. Yeah, it is so ensconced in the celebrity culture that the film case is a giveaway for the Oscars. That to me, I was like, whoa. So that kind of blew my mind.
You know what a film case is good for?
Putting lots of money in the form of film in.
You put your weed in it.
Oh.
See, back in the 90s. when marijuana was highly illegal people used film, you just put it in the film case. And when you got searched, nobody like, oh, that's just film. Oh,
well, look there. You're like, look at Ansel Adams over here with this camera.
Well, he's obviously an ambitious young man.
Not a slacker toking around.
Not some pothead slacker.
Wacky tabacky.
I feel like this goes along with the wired headphones thing, like a little bit of a retro chic situation.
Yeah, definitely. And celebrities are the few people that can afford to buy film now and pay for processing, so it probably works out that way anyway.
You're a film aficionado, right?
I am. It is sometimes it's not easy. But yeah. It's fun. That's where it caught my eye.
And you're a fashionable man, may I say.
There is a sub thing in the film community about being extremely angry at any celebrity seen using a camera, because then immediately goes up in value as people try and buy the camera the celebrity uses.
They jump on the bandwagon.
Yeah.
So this week there was a story about the Reddit subreddit called, is it Place? Just Place?
Yes, R Place.
Yeah, yes. r/Place. Which was the return of a collaborative art project where you could change one pixel color once every 5 minutes. And you can listen to Daily Tech News Show. We talked about it there. But in reading about that story, about the collaborative art project, they talked about people collaborating on Reddit itself and in other subreddits, on Discord, you know, which I was like, oh, yeah, that makes sense. And something called Geneva. So I wanted to like put a pin on this early. Geneva is like Discord, but not for games. I swear when I looked at Geneva on Monday, it said that it was for connecting with brands. Doesn't say that anymore. Now it says connect with all your favorite groups and clubs. It's more organized than GroupMe. People were still using GroupMe. more private than Facebook and more fun than Slack. To me, that actually describes Discord. So it's basically a, we know some of you think Discord is scary because gamers. So we made a Discord clone called Geneva that's neutral because Geneva. And it's got a it's got a heck of a support system. For instance, Kevin Systrom, co-founder of Instagram, Mike Krieger, the other co-founder of Instagram, Alexis Ohanian, co-founder of Reddit, Jack Conte, co-founder of Patreon, and Juan Barrero and Jim Shepard, who are members of Snap Inc., head of talent and director of international markets. Are among the entrepreneurs involved.
Now, I will say, so I had not really used Discord much until we switched to it for DTNS. That's kind of where I kind of jumped feet first in. And at first, it was a little like, I will say, like, it's like, okay, this is like a tool for gamers. It is not the most, I guess Slack isn't either, but it has its own kind of logic to it that you kind of have to learn. I mean, is the appeal here that yes, it has all the functionality of a Discord or something like that? It's just, it doesn't have that veneer of gamerness and it's more user friendly. Like the mobile app looks pretty, that reminds me more of Facebook, honestly, like what I'm seeing there with that. Just in their little demos here.
I think
here.
It's trying to look like Facebook groups for people who don't know Discord. So it's a little familiar to them in that way, but it works much more like, from my limited experience with it, it works a lot like Discord in that it has, you know, it has rooms that you go in and you chat. But there's a video room, there's an audio room. Among the groups they advertise on their website as using it are Colorado Ski Team, Tridelt, LSAT Study Group.
I was looking at their, I was like, where are you coming up? Oh, yes, I saw it.
Summer Japan Trip. Brunch Club. I don't know if these are real or just examples, but 4010 Walnut Street has a,
I mean, Geneva. With specific ones like women in business, I have to imagine these are real, Tom.
Yeah, and I think it is trying to kind of lean more into the community aspect. Whereas Discord's doing that now, but Discord has its roots in gamer communities and is branching out. This is saying like, hey, everybody, bring your people together, whatever communities. When I set it up, it definitely was like, do you want to start your own or do you want to pick one of these topics? There's lots of great groups you could join. So that feels a lot more like Facebook groups than Discord. But I haven't set up Discord in a long time. So Discord may be more like that now, too.
Well, that also has like some Reddit energy too, like, you know, like a more chat focused Reddit. Cause I like it, Discord,
find
I would
people.
Be like,
yeah.
Yeah. I'm not like Discord. I'm like, I'm just, I need to know you if I'm jumping in there. I'm not just jumping into a random a Discord server.
Use your rooms to chat about different topics. You can make them custom to your group's convos. And the defaults are general, chat, post room, and video room. So the post room feels a little more in the Facebooky sense. It looks like post, whereas the chat room is more like the Discord situation.
So are we declaring this a rising thing since it was cited in the story, or is it what would be the marker for
thing
like
to watch
ultimate thing,
I think though? It's a thing okay. to watch yeah
okay
yeah
Well, my thing that I'm watching and that is budding into my life at every moment in ways that I'm not entirely comfortable with are Amazon and Target pallet stores.
Oh, yeah.
Are just destroying my life.
Why?
For weeks, my parents keep telling me, like, we found this place called Fabulous Finds or something like that. I don't remember what the exact name of the store is because my brain turns off. Usually when they like, cause they're just like, we found like a salad spinner for $2. I was like, great. So it's like a consignment store. It's a junk store. My mom loves, mom loves the deals. Great. Mom, go nuts. So finally, the one time there was an end table or something, they sent me a picture. Oh, that looks nice. We're looking for an end table. I'll go pick it up. And I go in there and I realize they just bought a bunch of pallets from Target. And it's obviously a legitimate business model, and they've priced it all out to make some money based on the sale of that. But it just blew my mind that it looked like almost like a pop-up shop, right? There was not a lot of presentation to it. It's very bare bones. So you can get the good deals. You're not paying a markup for a nice presentation.
Well, hold on. I'm confused. I am aware of Amazon Pallet through Amazon, actually, where you can buy a pallet and they don't detail everything that's in it. They kind of just tell you like, this is the kind of stuff that's here. It's like returned goods and anything. We don't warranty any of it. And then they drop ship it to you. So what you're describing is you buy it online and then go pick it up yourself.
No. This is all physical retail. This is like, it's a little shop at a strip mall and you walk in and it sounds like the exact same thing, but Target branded stuff. It's all Target brand
and not online.
No, there's no online component. To
Oh, I thought you said your parents saw something online and you went to pick it up for them.
Yeah. Because my mom is in there three times a week, just in case they get new stuff.
She didn't see it online. She saw it at the store.
Okay. Physically at the store and sent me the picture. Yes. And by the way, the end table is quite nice, I have to say. And it was a nice deal. I'm not necessarily complaining. However, like I get updates, like every time I talk to my mom, I get an update on the store, how the store is doing, how the owner, like she's forming relationships with the ownership there. And she's like managed to find, there's like a couple now that have popped up. I want to say there are three, two of them sound like they're Amazon stores. And this one specifically is Target. But it seems like for whatever reason, the economics have worked out that, there's enough open retail space that these are making a lot more sense, at least in my area. Where I just see these all over the place and not just my parents. I kid with my mom. Mom, I love you if you ever listen to this, but I've heard a couple of friends and stuff like that mentioning going to these and finding really good deals. So it just seems like this is a rising retail thing, at least in the Northeast Ohio area.
So according to directliquidation.com, which I should say right up front, I know nothing about that. Absolutely <That's> nothing. but this is saying that a lot of these are middlemen who actually buy from what I'm talking about, the online liquidation, resell. And again, I tend to try to not trust anything I haven't looked into. So I don't know if this is good information, but so if we just take that as a supposition rather than a fact, I'm like, oh, okay, I could see that. I could see
Let's
someone
bat that around, yeah.
doing the online thing. And saying, well, a lot of people don't want to deal with drop shipments to their house, so let's create a store where we buy the pallets and then resell them for a little bit more.
Yeah,
and still a good deal for you.
And for the consumer, they still save some money. They get obviously a lot more, like they know exactly what they're buying. Like I can totally see the value in that. Certainly my mother does.
How do you find these?
I don't know. Okay. Like it's like, this is not even like a front of street. This is like on an extension street that runs behind like a guitar center. And there's this, it's in this like little tiny strip mall. I have no idea how my mom found it. She loves a good consignment store. My mom will like go to any consignment store looking for deals. So I think maybe she thought it was that based on the name and then went in and was like, whoa, what is this magical world of brands I recognize?
But when you say it's a pallet and you bought the end table, did you have to buy a bunch of other stuff, or are you able to pick things out of the pallet?
It's my assumption that these are pallets, that they're buying pallets of stuff.
You aren't buying the pallet.
Yes. No, there's no buying of pallets.
And that's the difference between what I was talking about when you go on to Amazon. You have to buy the whole pallet. So that makes sense that these companies are buying the pallets and then breaking it up and reselling.
Yeah. That's why I call them pallets. Okay. That's why I'm calling them pallet stores. Yeah. Sure, drop shippers are just buying retail space now.
Interesting. You kind of have to be in the know. It reminds me of something Rob Dunwood was talking about on SMR podcast, where he was able to buy a television from an air cargo wholesaler. And they operated out of the airport in Columbus, Ohio. So he would go online, bid on a thing, and if he got it, then he'd have to drive to the airport and pick it up. But he got a TV for a good deal that way.
That is a little bizarre, but I guess, hey, you're saving the markup. You're doing the travel and stuff.
And I don't know if it's like abandoned shipments or overstock or what. I'm interested in how that part of it happens, but.
Well, this is getting further afield, but one of my favorite things used to be to look on govdeals.com, which is all like government liquidation surplus, auctions and stuff. Yeah. But occasionally, like the Atlanta airport is very famous to me because I search this a lot, but they always have a lot of like abandoned stuff or electronic shipments. I don't know if they got confiscated or whatever, but they'll just be like, here's 60 unopened iPads that you can buy for, you know, however many $1,000s, or here's a box of knives you can just buy. It just always makes me laugh whenever I see an Atlanta Gov Deals auction. It's very bizarre.
For those of you who were watching or listening to either Daily Tech News Show or Good Day Internet today, you heard me begin watching the Cardinals Pirates game, and it just ended. So,
yes, my Guardians lost today.
The Cardinals won. So, yeah,
it's karma.
All right. Before we get into the feedback, report from Molly Wood on the ground. She has observed that Gucci belts are a thing. Definitely something she would have talked about, would she have been there. So there is a
mom or a woman who picks up a child at my kid's preschool always wears a Gucci belt. Wow.
So she may want to tell you more about that next week on It's a Thing. Mm. So don't miss next week's episode
for an exciting adventure into Gucci belts.
Yeah. So to feedback at itsathing.me, your things for us. Tom Z or Tom Z, I don't know where Tom is coming from, so one of the two, says, hi Molly, Tom, and Rich, I have a thing check. It's the first time writing that's not about some weird vegan food thingy. It's about a game, Unpacking, where you just unpack a box and set up a room. Oh my gosh, this is like unboxing for an entire room. I have two teenagers and I keep overhearing them talk about it. Molly, if you can run this by your teen source of thing knowledge, my daughter showed me the game and I didn't get it. It made me feel like I was being conned into helping someone move in, but I'm old and moved a lot in my 20s. Maybe in lockdown COVID world, it gives them relaxation to think of someday moving out. Love the show.
I have a couple people that are into the game, so I will check that out too. But yeah, that if you set it up right, I mean, anything can be a fun game. So sure, why not?
Yeah, why not?
Why not? Why not? All right. Well, Damon from Indiana on a possible thing, he wrote and said, hello, It's a Thing crew. My family has been doing a lot of camping in our RV since the pandemic began. One thing that I like to do is get a sticker from each campground that we stay at and put it on our cooler or other camping equipment. While collecting, I have noticed something that I have seen at almost all of the campgrounds, and that is wooden stickers. These are a little thicker than a normal vinyl sticker, but I must say they've been more durable. I have had one on my Mac for over a year now, and it looks as good as when I put it on. I'm not sure how well they would work out in a rear car of a window or the rear window of a car. That's how you say words. But for people like myself that like to put stickers on laptops, it's something a little different.
Wow. Yeah. These are cool. Look, I just looked up wooden stickers and there's definitely a thickness. They're not like a board, you know, but they're not going to wrap around a pole. put it that way. They definitely need to be on a flat surface.
Yeah, and I could definitely see those picked up for like corporate swag and stuff like that. Oh, you know, like it helps you stand out. Like that could totally catch on too. So they look cool. I'm down for it.
Looks like we nailed it on short movies. Harish and Matbat wrote in to let us know a mere 48 hours after we declared wanting shorter movies a thing that Saturday Night Live released the short ass movie music video with Pete Davidson. I saw that over the weekend. It was like, oh my gosh, Pete Davidson was spying on our rundown. Granted, it was a pre-recorded bit, so it obviously had to have been done in advance of our recording of It's a Thing, or did it?
They can turn around production
Pete
real quick.
Davidson stealing our
if record. That's your real
it's,
name.
It's not.
I was just so glad that I published the episode before
right?
Sunday.
No kidding. Or it'd be like, oh, so you ripped off Pete Davidson.
We would have had Discord to back us up. The live stream would have backed us up, but still. All right. Well, Matt Bad also sent a nice picture of his dog, Whiskey, who is a non-doodle, but we must assume an extremely good dog. But speaking of doodles, Amber wrote in with some more doodle confirmation. She says, I was just walking my Great Pyrenees when a neighbor stopped me so she could introduce me to her Pyradoodle puppy. Adorable, by the way. Abby, my Pyrenees, was far more concerned with trying to get petted by the neighbor. Doodles really are everywhere.
Yeah. Doodles everywhere and not a drop to drink. Oh, wait, we have Whiskey. Joe Hood on a new dance thing says, hello, Rimmel Tom. I have a Rich Molly and Tom. I like that. I have a thing that is spreading among the youths, specifically the young men. This thing is a dance called the Griddy with two D's. The Griddy. I originally thought it was about the Flyers mascot Gritty, and my resident youth denies that it has anything to do with Gritty and says, Dad, it isn't even spelled that way. Because Gritty's spelled with two T's, whereas Griddy, the dance, is spelled with two D's. I first saw the Griddy performed by my said youth in celebration of something or other, and then I saw it being used as a celebration all throughout the March Madness basketball tournament. Turns out it is a touchdown dance popularized by Justin Jefferson, a wide receiver for the Minnesota Vikings. At this point, it has a Fortnite emote and tutorials on YouTube, so I would like to propose it as a thing. Hopefully we get to see the real thing crowning of any dance soon. Local newscasters and national morning show hosts attempting it on it.
To all of our collective amusement.
Yeah,
no doubt.
That definitely used to be the like crowning achievement of a thing. Today it's almost like the final underline, like if you get the local newscasters doing it.
Yeah, well, I feel like once you get the Fortnite emote.
The youths.
Yeah. Once you get into Fortnite, I feel like you've already reached thing, at least for the youths.
Hey, yeah, once they make an emote out of it, you're good. I wonder if the Minnesota Vikings player got any licensing out of that. Because there's a lot of controversy over Fortnite stealing dances from TikTokers. So, just saying. It's time for our shout-outs. Rich, you based these on page 2 from the manual of the classic Sierra point-and-click adventure King's Quest.
That's right.
How did that come about?
I saw Scott Johnson post a video playing King's Quest, and I used to love those games, particularly the one where it was the two princesses. That was nice. My favorite one. And so I went digging into some King's Quest documentation.
Fantastic. I'll kick us off and we can just alternate these lines. You cool with that?
Sounds good. Yeah, that works.
To keep your Kevin Sills Quest diskette in good operating condition, please take the following precautions.
Store Paul Dow in its protective Morris Jones and never bend Miranda Janelle.
Use a felt tip pen when writing on Benjamin Forrest. Do not use clips, pencils, or ballpoint Lee Prices.
Keep Gabriel Cohen dry and out of direct Joe Hood.
Avoid extreme Laura Abel or Andrew Bradley.
Do not touch Louis St. Amour through the opening on Mike Akins. Yikes. Instead, always grasp by James C. Smith.
Keep Jake Woods away from Eric Duncan and electrical equipment, including David Grizzly Smith.
Truly, truly words to live
by. Now, if you are the first time listening to It's a Thing, you're like, what was that? These are folks at the highest level of It's a Thing that get a shout out on the show. And unlike other podcasts who feel it's sufficient to just say the names, Rich turns them into poetry. that by taking an inspirational text like page 2 from the manual of the classic Sierra point and click adventure King's Quest, and then weaving their names into it like a story.
Listen, some weeks you get The Anatomy of Criticism by Northrop Frye. Other mm-hmm. times you get King's Quest manuals. It all depends on where I'm at.
I'm just saying, we go the extra mile on It's a Thing. Thanks to our producer, Rich Straffolino. You're the best, Rich.
Well, I fully deny that. I'm uncomfortable with that compliment. But you know who is the best? Our patrons. And of course, we want to thank everyone for listening. And you can become a member of the It's a Thing Patreon and get access to cool stuff like our Discord and an ad-free RSS feed and more at patreon.com/It's a Thing.
You can also email us your things, feedback@itsathing.me. That's the address. Send us what you're seeing out there. And Molly and Rich will be back next week. I'll talk to you in a couple weeks.
Bye.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.